This podcast is one of the many good ones on the Self Defense Radio Network.
Hi, this is Jeff in Saxey, Texas. And just like Bob, I'm a tactical guy and I like a tactical podcast.
Jeff, wait a minute. That's practical guy and practical podcast.
Oh, never mind.
Hi folks, I'm Bob Main. I carry a gun because I can't carry a cop. This is episode number 428 of the Handgun World Podcast. Just a practical show done by an everyday practical guy like me. All right folks, so this 428th episode, I got two main topics. The first one is I've got an initial review of the Generation 5 Glock 19 that I had a chance to check out at a store recently. It's not a range review. It's first impressions review after having a chance to spend some time doing some dry firing and manipulations at a gun store. And I'm fairly impressed with the Glock Gen 5. I think that Glock has done some things that they really needed to do to keep up with the market. So I'll be talking about that in the first segment. Then I'm going to discuss capacity and I'm going to analyze capacity. More specifically, I'm going to talk about some specific questions about defensive situations that you might find yourself having to handle. And that's going to be in the second half. I want to begin by saying please pray for all of the Hurricane Harvey victims. I have been doing whatever I can in addition to praying. I have been trying to help in every way I can. I want to make the announcement that for the entire month of September, I am going to donate my portion of everything that comes through my Amazon store and everything that comes through my portion of the Shooters Club. You know, Ben Branham and I, we run the Shooters Club website together, and we split that together. I'm going to take my proceeds and I'm going to combine them with my proceeds from the Amazon store. It's not a lot each month, but it's something. And I'm going to be donating that to the relief causes for Hurricane Harvey. So if you choose in the month of September, and you know this is coming out September, if you choose to help support my show, you will also be supporting the victims of the tragic Hurricane Harvey. And again, let's all keep those people in our prayers. We are Texas strong. They are Houston strong, or Rockport, or Victoria, or Corpus Christi, or Port Arthur, and everywhere along the Texas coast that is suffering. Let's remember them if you have family and friends there, which I do. I sort of feel like Houston's my second home. I go to Houston so much for business. I got personal friends in Houston. I have close personal friends in Houston. I have lots of podcast listeners in the Houston area. So I sort of, in some way, even though I live in San Antonio, I feel like Houston is sort of my second home. So I also feel personally affected by the devastation of Hurricane Harvey, which I guess now has been declared the worst natural disaster in the USA. Unbelievable. Well, let's just try to help all that we can. Next, I want to remind you, November 4th and 5th, Paul Carlson of the Safety Solutions Academy is teaching his critical defensive handgun class here in San Antonio. You can get signed up. Go to handgunworld.com. November 4th and 5th, Saturday and Sunday, two-day class. Paul Carlson. Go to handgunworld.com. You'll see the listing there. We want to give Paul a good showing down here in the great gun-friendly state of Texas. Next, I want to remind you, Concealment Solutions is the official sponsor of the Handgun World Podcast. Handgun World coupon code gets you 10% off of anything you order at Concealment Solutions except for the belts. Handgun World is the coupon that you put in there at checkout, and you will get 10% off. ConcealmentSolutions.com. I love their holsters. Use them about 90% of the time when I am carrying a firearm. Large or small, I use Concealment Solutions holsters. So let's get on with the main topic. Okay, back in the mobile studio again, on the way home. So after I finished up my business trip, I stopped at a gun dealer that I knew probably had some new Glock Generation 5 pistols in stock. Sure enough, I got a chance to handle and dry fire two Glock 19 Gen 5s. Basically, the only difference is one had the Ameriglow night sights and the other one didn't. So let me talk a little bit about this. I know there are a lot of videos out there and on YouTube, but if you haven't seen some of those or you want a different perspective, let me see if I can give it to you. This is not a range review. I did not get a chance to go to the range and shoot this gun. All I got a chance to do was spend a good 15 minutes in a gun shop and dry firing and handling the Glock Gen 5. Let me say that I really believe Glock has made a lot of really good changes that they needed to make. You know, they've been behind in changes. They've been behind all the other manufacturers significantly for the last several years. And you guys know I like Glock pistols. I'm not a Glock fanboy because I do own other non-Glock pistols that I trust my life to. But many of the other manufacturers out there have been beating the pants off of Glock when it comes to needed features. But I've got to say, I think these Gen 5 pistols have brought Glock up to all the rest of the manufacturers. Let me tell you why. Let me go over some things that I think are very important. Let's first talk about the grip, because that's the big thing. The grip has no finger grooves, and the grip is exactly like the Gen 4 grip. Exactly like the Generation 4 grip. Same texturing, same ability to change out the back straps. The same back straps come with the Glock Gen 5 that come with the Glock Gen 4. So it's the same grip. You can adjust the grip to different sizes to fit your hand. And the fact that it has no finger grooves is a big deal. It makes the grip feel significantly different in a big way. The other thing about the grip that isn't getting talked about much is at the bottom of the grip, there are two very important changes. First of all, Glock has built in a magwell. They've built in a nicely flared magwell at the bottom of the grip, and it's not too obtrusive. It's not too big. So it's not going to affect concealability of the Glock 19 at all. It's not going to affect it, not one bit. That was a good thing to see. But it's going to really make you able to reload the gun a lot easier and a lot faster. And it's got to be approved in competition, too. It has to be, because it's coming from the factory that way. It's built in by the manufacturer, so the competition leagues, they're going to have to accept it as being legal. The other thing is a real nice cutout in the front of the bottom of the grip. A real nice U-shaped cutout and an extended base plate, so that you can easily rip the magazine out of the gun if you are clearing a malfunction that forces you to do that. You could have a real nasty double feed where a tap and a rack is not going to clear that malfunction, and you've got to lock the slide back, like I mentioned in the other segment, and you got to rip out the magazine. Far easier to do that now with the Gen 5 guns, and you don't have to modify the gun. Glock has built that in. So, combination of the base plates, the U-shaped cutout in the front of the bottom of the grip, and the flared magwell, nice improvements by Glock. It's terrific. That is You know, they needed to do that because other guns have that, and Glock needed to do that, and they did. So I was very impressed with that. It does not appear to me like they undercut the back of the trigger guard much, if at all. That's the only thing I really wish they would have done, is made that change. But you know, without the finger grooves, I think that's less of a factor, that undercut trigger guard. I think it's far less of a factor without the finger grooves in the front. If I get a Gen 5, I may have a real slight undercut to the trigger guard done at some point, but it felt good to me. Of course, the big test is going to be a 700 or 800 round class over 2 days and see if I get my Glock knuckle or not. That's why I undercut the trigger guards on all the Glocks I have, because I was getting Glock knuckle. All right. Now, they made a lot of changes in this gun you might not know about. The finish on the slide is a lot better. The finish is far more durable. You can tell just by looking at it. If you go to the store that has Gen 5 Glocks and hold it next to a Gen 4 Glock, you'll be able to see the difference just by looking at it. It's a darker finish, much more durable. I think they call it NDLC. Something like that. Speaking of the slide, they've also beveled the front of the slide. So the front's at an angle. It's not squared off anymore. That really helps in going in and out of the holster. There's far less drag when you holster and unholster that gun. So they've done that with the 19 and the 17. They'll probably do it with all Gen 5s that they produce. I hope they come out, by the way, with a Glock 26 Gen 5. That's going to be a sweet little gun, too. A G26 Gen 5. Okay, let's see. What else did they do that I was real impressed with? They claim that the barrel is better. They've changed the rifling, by the way. So all of you who want to shoot lead bullets out of a Glock, go get yourself a Gen 5. They say that they've changed the rifling. They say they've improved it, and it's much more friendly now to shooting lead reloads. So for those of you who reload, go get yourself a Glock Gen 5 and shoot away, because you're not going to have the issue as with the older Glocks. They've changed the takedown design. It's a 2-pin gun now instead of a 3-pin, so you only have to remove 2 pins when you want to completely disassemble it. They have changed the shape of the trigger bar. The trigger bar is different. Now, what all these changes mean is you're not going to have interchangeable parts between generations. Like, you can't take Gen 4 parts out and put them into a Gen 5. Unfortunately, that's not going to happen. What I did ask the gun store clerk to do is I asked him to show me the recoil spring guide rod system on a Gen 4 and compare it to a Gen 5. That looks exactly the same. The recoil spring system looks exactly the same between a Gen 4 and a Gen 5. That was good, but none of the other parts are going to change. They've changed the shape of the trigger bar. They've also changed the safety plunger shape. It's tapered. It's not squared off like the old ones. And, you know, a lot of people, when they had a trigger job done on their Glocks, they would have the gunsmith doing the trigger job, you know, highly polish that safety plunger, the drop safety, you know, so it would smooth up the trigger pull. Well, that's not a factor anymore. Glock has changed that with the Gen 5. They've put a nicely tapered firing pin plunger safety in there. And so the combination of the different shape of the trigger bar and the different safety plunger, I didn't feel that wall anymore. Like, when you press a Glock trigger, you know, you get rid of the take-up, and then you feel this wall just before it breaks. That's the best way to describe it. I didn't feel that with the Gen 5. How about that? It seems like it's gone. That's why I like the trigger better. That's why I think it's a whole lot better. It kind of reminded me of the SIG P320 trigger. You know, I mean, I know you can't drop those guns, but the trigger press on the 320s are pretty decent. And this new Glock Gen 5, you can drop it. I feel pretty safe about that. Glock seems to have been leading the way for drop safe guns. And I think that's going to be good, but it's got a trigger that's much improved. Hey, by the way, the store that I was in, I'm not going to mention the name because I really don't have the permission to do that. They did have a sign in their store that said that they also, like almost everybody else, have suspended sales of the SIG P320 due to the safety issues. So that sign was pretty easy to read in that gun store. So I think the other manufacturers should be able to take advantage of that. You know, Glock and Smith & Wesson and Springfield and Ruger, the other people that lead the way in striker-fired guns, their marketing departments need to wake up and take advantage of the window of opportunity that they now have. I have no doubt that Glock will do that because they seem to be pretty good marketers. Let's see what the other manufacturers do. So Glock says that they have what's called a marksman barrel. I'm not quite sure what a marksman barrel is, but according to Glock, it's a more accurate barrel than what was in the other generations of their pistols. You know, I don't know how I feel about that. I mean, I don't know a lot of people who are that good of a shooter where they can be more accurate than just about any gun made out there. And the barrels that are in them and the way that they're constructed. If you can outshoot your gun, you're a rare person. You're a rare shooter. You're very gifted as a shooter if you yourself can be that good to be more accurate than your gun is capable of. I need to take lessons from you. Let's just put it that way. But Glock says that they have a marksman barrel in there. They've changed the extractor too. How many of you, like me, have been very irritated by the latest Glocks that shoot brass right into your face? Well, that's gone. The empty brass does not come back into your face. They have redesigned the extractor. And again, I'm not giving a range review, but according to what I've seen and the people that I've talked to recently that have shot them, including the manager of the store that I was in, he had some data on a big range test that he did with the gun, and I've seen some other people that have done range tests. The brass ejects nice and reliably out to the right side of the gun, and it stays that way. And it's not shooting brass back towards the shooter. It's not launching it back towards you, because Glock says that they have completely redesigned the extractor. Not the ejector, but the extractor. So that's a good plus. Let's see, what else have they done? I talked about the slide and the different finish and the bevel on the front of it. They've got the same Generation 4, actually it looks the same, Generation 4 magazine release button, but it's actually a little bit larger than the Generation 4 mag release button. So for those of you that have a hard time reaching the mag release on a Glock without shifting your grip, consider the Gen 5 Glock. I think it will be a lot better. Oh, and Glock has finally come out with a completely ambidextrous slide release. I was very pleased to see that the slide release is on both sides of the gun, left side and right side. So, lefties, you are in luck. All you got to do is switch the magazine release button over to the other side, and you have a nice left-handed Glock. So, that was good to see. And they've redesigned that slide release. For people who use that, I don't use it. I still use the slingshot or overhand tug method, whatever name you want to give it. That's the method I use to chamber a new round. But for those of you who do like to use the slide release, nothing wrong with it as long as you practice well that way. They've redesigned that slide release. And by the way, I am purposely calling it a slide release. Glock calls it a slide stop. But think about the terminology there. Glock is calling it a slide stop, yet shooters use that to release the slide. Isn't that contradictory? Okay, well, I guess it is, but I will put the words in there, slide release, because people do use it that way. So I want to be very careful with my words, because I've had listeners get on me. I've had listeners give me feedback asking me to be more precise with my words. So that's what I'm doing. So it's a redesigned slide stop release. And it actually sticks out from the gun a little more. And it's easier. It's easier to press that. And it's easier for you to get your thumb on that. And it doesn't point back towards the rear of the gun. So it's probably going to eliminate the problem a lot of people have with extended slide stop releases on Glocks, where people accidentally push up on it, and when they don't want to, they lock the slide back. I think that problem is going to go away with Glock's new slide release. Slide stop release. So that was a good change. The fact that it's ambidextrous, easier to use. There seems to be a little less tension on that slide stop release. So when you push down on it to send the slide forward, it doesn't seem like you have to exert as much pressure as you do with the older Glocks. That's good. So I think Glock has made that change as well. A lot of good ones on here. Be careful not to just think, oh, Glock's come out with a pistol with no finger grooves and big deal. The Gen 5s are much different than that. Much different than a reworked Glock with no finger grooves. I don't think that they copied a Generation 2 and put some improvements on it. Doesn't look to me like that's what they did. They've redesigned a lot of things in this pistol. So I'm going to own one, folks. I'm going to own one. I don't know when, but I'm going to own a Gen 5, maybe more than one, maybe two Gen 5s. I think it's a winner. I really do. By the way, it comes with three magazines, like the Gen 4s. So that's worth some money. The gun shop that I was at was selling them to the commercial market for $5.59. And they were selling them to law enforcement, I think, for something like $100 less than that. So, and I think the law enforcement deal included the night sights. I am going to at least wait until there is a decent amount of stock on these Gen 5 Glocks with the Ameriglow night sights. Oh, I got to say that. Glock is actually shipping them now with Ameriglow night sights with an orange front sight and a nice tritium rear sight, mostly black but with tritium inserts. That is finally a good thing that Glock is doing. I know that they've shipped Glocks before with night sights, but now they've got even better night sights than the ones that used to come on the pistols, in my opinion, because you've got that nice orange front sight, which is easy to pick up. And the Ameriglows are real good for combat sights. And even for competition. I mean, I think they would do real well because it kind of simulates a fiber optic front sight with that nice, you know, orange ring around the front tritium sight. So I think that's real good too. I want to wait until there's a good amount of stock on those. And that's probably the one I'll buy, is with the Ameriglows already installed. So I don't have to mess around with getting on Ameriglow's website and ordering them and then trying to put them on and goof around with all that, because I'm just not very good at all that. And I'd rather buy the gun with those sights installed. So there you go. There's my short review on the Glock Generation 5 pistols. Once I own one or get a chance to shoot one, I will do a range review and maybe even make a video, but I don't know about the video because there's already 100,000 videos up there on the Glock Gen 5. I don't know what I could add that people have not already added, but I did want to put it on this segment. I'll be right back.
Hey, this is Lloyd Bailey, the Armed Lutheran, host of the Armed Lutheran Radio Podcast, reminding you that the podcast you're listening to is a proud member of the Self-Defense Radio Network. Check out all the great content at selfdefenseradio.net.
Talk about capacity, and I want to sort of pose some questions for you to think about, and let's kind of have a discussion here. You know, as you know, I have a voicemail set up, and you can voicemail or email me messages, and let's have a little bit of discussion here. The inspiration for this segment, I was having a conversation with a good friend of mine who's a listener and a shooter, and has actually been to one of the classes that Ben and I have taught. And we were talking about, he brought up the fact that he respectfully disagrees about some of the comments that I've made in the past regarding extra magazines, carrying a spare magazine. And the comments I've made in the past several times is I have said that don't get a false sense of security with your spare magazine. Don't think that you automatically have extra rounds to finish the gunfight in your spare magazine, because the chances, the odds of you reloading in a civilian gunfight are nearly nothing. I mean, let's think about this, okay? First of all, not very many people ever get into a gunfight at all. Most people go all their lives and they don't have to draw their gun. And sometimes even if they do have to draw their gun, the fight's over and they didn't even fire a shot once the aggressor realizes that you possess a firearm and you are willing to use it. Many times that ends everything. So the chances of you actually having to use your firearm is slim. Now, we know that a lot of attacks are made by more than one person. We know that bad guys work in teams. We know that there's oftentimes more than one bad guy. And so it begs the question, what kind of capacity do you need in your defensive handgun? And that's a question that cannot be answered with an absolute, because everything depends, right? It depends on what the fight is. It depends on all of the circumstances. But let's engage in some analytical thought here. Because the odds of getting into a gunfight are slim, now think about the odds of you needing extra ammo to win that gunfight. How small do you think that percentage of the actual defensive gun uses would be? How small do you think that would be? See, that's a small number. Now, I'm carrying a spare magazine right now. Right now, I'm carrying my Glock 43. I'm going on a business appointment, so I've got to be pretty discreet about carrying a gun. So I got my Glock 43 because it really does disappear. And same with the spare magazine. Totally concealable. Nobody knows anything. So, here's my point. I'm carrying a spare magazine, but I am carrying a spare magazine primarily in case I have a malfunction and I have to clear that malfunction by ripping out the magazine that's in the gun. Maybe I have a double feed. Maybe I have a nasty malfunction where a tap and rack won't fix that malfunction. So I gotta lock that slide to the rear. I gotta get the tension off of that recoil spring and get the tension off the slide and the magazine and everything. I got to lock that slide to the rear, and I've got to rip out the magazine that's in the gun, and I need to insert a fresh magazine, rack the slide, and get more ammo in the gun. I got to fix that malfunction. That is the reason. That's the primary reason I carry a spare magazine. I don't look at it as more rounds to win the gunfight, because that number is so small. That percentage, that number, that likelihood is so small, it's almost insignificant to me. What do you think? You know, we have to prepare for the most likely scenarios. The most likely scenarios. That's the prepper side of me, right? That's the prepper side of me, is thinking, okay, what's the most likely scenario? You know, most of you know in South Texas, tragic Hurricane Harvey hit. And San Antonio, thank God, got spared. All we got maybe was a few inches of rain and a little bit of wind. That's all we got. But we all know about the great tragedy of Hurricane Harvey. And that's the most likely scenario in southeast Texas and the Texas coast. That's probably the most likely disaster scenario when you're talking about preparing for a natural disaster, because many hurricanes have hit South Texas. The same goes for carrying a handgun. What is the most likely scenario you're going to run into? And I'll submit to you, all of you listening to this, that the most likely scenario for your extra magazine is going to be clearing a malfunction, not needing more ammo for the gunfight. Now, my friend was saying that there are people who have studied this and come up with theories or maybe not even theories, but stats or actual observations that sometimes it takes 5 or 6 rounds per bad guy to end the fight. Sometimes. It's not, of course, that's not scientific. We've heard many stories. We've heard many stories about bad guys being shot 14 or 15 times by law enforcement before they were stopped. Sometimes we've read that 1 or 2 shots stopped. We don't know. That's the thing, is that we don't know. So I think this makes a great case for carrying a gun with the most amount of capacity that you possibly can. Because you've got to think about the magazine in the gun, your first magazine of ammo, and the only one in the gun at a time. And the very split second that you draw your handgun out of your holster, at that time you have whatever ammo is in the gun, and that's what you better win the fight with. And I think that's the way you need to look at it. So, if you are concerned about the scenario of what happens if you are attacked by more than one person, then carry a gun that has enough capacity for you to feel comfortable taking care of those threats with the first magazine. You follow me? Because I don't think it's very likely you're going to go to that second magazine to finish that fight. It can happen. It can happen. So please don't send me mail or comments saying that I'm throwing that whole possibility out the window, because I'm not. I know that that is a possibility. I think it's more likely for law enforcement and military, of course. I'll say that again. It's more likely for law enforcement and military to have to reload in the fight. Although, I tell you what, I remember I was doing an interview a couple years ago with John Payne of Suarez International. John's also a law enforcement officer. He has been for a long time. And John reminded us all, if you recall listening to that podcast interview that I did with him, he reminded us all that the least used item on a law enforcement officer's belt is a spare magazine. That's the least used item on a cop's belt. A spare magazine. So if that's the case for law enforcement, you know, and think about it. All you law enforcement listeners, those of you who are active duty law enforcement, give me some feedback. Would you agree that your spare magazines are rarely, if ever, used? I'd like to hear that. My voicemail is 210-646-1727. My email, bob@handgunworld.com. So let me know. So if that's the case for law enforcement, it's probably even more unlikely for civilians to need that extra magazine. So I guess what I'm saying is, this is what I hear a lot of people say. Well, I'm carrying my Smith & Wesson Shield, and even though it only holds 9 rounds, I have another 8 round magazine on my belt, so I've got 17 rounds. I think, no, you don't. You better be confident you can win the fight with the 9 rounds that you have in your Smith & Wesson Shield. If you get to use that extra magazine and put more ammo in the gun, well, then an extremely bad situation just got a little bit better for you. But don't count on it, folks. You know, think about this. Let's say you're being attacked by 2 bad guys. If you draw your pistol and you start to engage one bad guy, the one that probably is the most threat to you at that point, okay, he's the most threat. You shoot him 2 or 3 times, what do you think the second bad guy is going to do? I'll bet the second bad guy is probably going to do one of 2 things. He's either going to run and figure, oh crap, we just picked on the wrong civilian. He's shooting my buddy. I am out of here. I don't want any more part of this. Or he might get angry and come at you even stronger because he's trying to save his buddy. So then you may have to shoot him a few times. Now, will they both stop what they're doing? Well, that really depends on a whole bunch of stuff, people. It depends on how good you are. It depends on how well you place your shots. It depends on how much fight training have you had. Were you able to get out of the area? Were you able to get off the line of attack? Were you able to shoot the bad guy? Were you able to shoot the bad guy in spots that incapacitate him or her and make them stop doing what they did? Or did you just slow them down with your first 2, 3, or 4 rounds, or whatever it takes, or 5 rounds? Now, I would say the odds are pretty good, and again, we're playing the odds here. You know, carrying a gun to save your life, it's kind of like gambling, isn't it? You're playing the odds. I'd say the odds are, once you start shooting the first bad guy, the second bad guy probably is not going to want to continue the fight. Probably. Again, we're not talking about going to war in Afghanistan or Iraq. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about you being a law enforcement officer and you're chasing down bank robbers or you're chasing down drug dealers that are armed and well known to create violence. That's not what I'm talking about, because if you're a private citizen listening to this, that's not your duty. If you're a law enforcement officer or military and you're listening to this, yeah, it is your duty. Then that's a different story. So you're playing the odds. You're trying to figure out, and you're trying to figure out what's best for you. This is why I'm a big proponent of, whenever I can, I carry a gun with a good amount of capacity. I love my Glock 19 because of the 15-round capacity in a relatively small firearm. Or something like a Smith & Wesson M&P 9 compact, or a Ruger SR9 compact, or an XDM compact. Any of the guns that hold between 10 and 15 rounds that are easy to conceal, I think, should be carried more often than anything less than that. Even Glock 26s, you know, for example, you can get 12-round magazines for a Glock 26, and you got a 13-round gun that's very concealable. I really believe that you need to consider carrying those types of handguns way more often than this, than the really super small single-stack 9s or even the pocket guns. And what did I say earlier? I'm carrying my Glock 43. There are times I have to compromise, folks, because of my job. This is one of those times. It all depends on what I'm doing and where I'm going. When I get home, I'm going to change my firearm. I'm going to put my Glock 43 back in the safe, and I'm going to put my Glock 19, one of my Glock 19s, on my belt with a spare magazine. And that's how I'm going to finish my day and finish my evening. Because I have places to go when I finish up work today. I have places to go that don't involve seeing clients where I have to have my gun ultra concealed. And tomorrow I don't have any plans to see somebody that where I have to have my gun ultra concealed. So I'll be carrying my Glock 19. So I think, you know, we have to understand. And by the way, if you come to a class that I teach with Ben Branham, or if you go to any good instructor out there, Masada Yu, Paul Carlson, Rob Pincus, you know, pick them. Dave Spalding, Gabe Suarez, any of them, any of those schools out there that teach gunfighting and defensive use of a handgun, they're probably going to teach you how to engage multiple bad guys, more than one bad guy. Learn those techniques and practice those techniques, and then make a decision. Okay, well, now what for my lifestyle? What kind of gun do I need to carry for my lifestyle? What is it that now that I've been to this class and I've learned that? What is it that I need to carry and carry either all the time or most of the time? It might be likely that maybe you shoot one bad guy two or three times. Maybe you line them up so that one's behind the other, and you shoot one first, and then when that one's no longer a threat, and the other bad guy either leaves the area or then becomes a threat, then you have to shoot him. Who knows? Or you may not be able to line them up. That might not be possible for the scenario that you find yourself in. So maybe you've got to shoot each one two or three times as quickly as you possibly can. Now you've shot six or seven or eight rounds, and then you have to ask yourself, okay, how much ammo do I need to have in my gun? What kind of gun do I need to carry? You see my point? So please don't take what I say as an absolute, because how do I know? How do I know what situation that you're going to be in? But if I examine the odds, if I examine the probability, nothing is for sure in life, folks. We can't predict anything for sure. So we have to take our educated guesses, we have to make our best guess, and then we have to make a decision, what gun are we going to carry for the particular situation that we are going to be in today. So if you're trying to make a decision as to what firearms to own, my strong suggestion to you would be to own a firearm that is relatively compact but holds a decent amount of ammo. I like guns as a primary carry weapon. I like guns that hold more than 10 rounds as a primary, preferably 15 or 17 rounds that are pretty compact that you can conceal. And I was also talking to my friend the other day about this. So let me change the subject a little bit, but it's somewhat related. How many of you listening to this podcast right now? Well, let me take a quick break, and then I'm going to ask the question. Just a quick break.
This is Sean from the Gunblog Variety Cast. Unlike Bob, I was in the military, but that was a long time ago. Now what I need is a practical podcast from a practical guy. That's why I listen to Bob Main's Handgun World podcast on the Self Defense Radio Network.
Okay, how many of you listening to this podcast have ever been asked the question, are you carrying a gun right now? I've been asked that a couple times, but not very often. And you know what? You know who usually asks me that? People who know me that know I carry. How many of you have ever had a stranger just walk up to you and ask you, hey, are you carrying a gun? I bet that doesn't happen very often. How many of you have had people out in public notice that you're carrying a gun? I'm sure it's happened, but I bet it's not very often, is it? Most people are clueless. They're not paying attention, ladies and gentlemen. They're not. I have seen people in stores that have a huge smartphone. I mean, even bigger than my iPhone 6S Plus, like real big ones. And they have them in a phone holster, right? They're carrying these big smartphones in a phone holster on their belt, and it's underneath their shirt, right? And that thing prints more than a gun. And I can tell that it's a smartphone, because some people, based on the clothes that they wear, you can see the outline of the smartphone. And so a lot of concealed carriers get a little paranoid about people being able to notice that they're carrying a gun. You know, they're so afraid of being made that people, oh, wow, somebody's going to notice I got this gun. No, they're not going to notice you've got a gun. As long as it's well concealed, you got a good holster, and it's pretty well concealed, and you got a pretty decent concealment garment on, they're not even going to be looking for it. The odds are they're not going to be looking to see if you have a gun. And if by some chance they figure out that you're carrying a gun, they're probably not going to say anything. They may not care. Even if they do care, they may not say anything, because if it's legal, and trust me, they most likely they know it's legal. They're not going to care. They're not going to do anything. Yeah, you're going to have those few incidents where somebody whips out their cell phone, calls 911, and says, you know, somebody's here carrying a gun. Right? Again, probability. What are the odds of that? It's never happened to me. Nobody's ever called the cops on me because I'm carrying a gun. So where am I going with this? Carry the largest gun you can carry. Don't worry so much if it's printing a little bit. Don't worry if a quarter of an inch of the grip is printing through your shirt. Who can tell that that's a gun? Just because quarter of an inch of the grip or a half inch of the grip is showing. Who can tell that? It could be something else. You could be carrying a smartphone there and that's what's printing. You know, I mean, nobody knows. Nobody can tell for sure. Now, maybe I'm spoiled in the great state of Texas. Open carry is now legal. And they've really loosened up the consequences for not properly concealing. And Texas is pretty gun-friendly anyway. It's a gun-friendly state. Nobody cares if they figure out that someone's carrying a gun. It's highly rare in this state that anybody's ever gonna say anything. Sorry, I had to grab a call. But most people are not going to say anything. They're not going to question it. you know, they may notice it and, you know, just kind of leave it. So I guess what I'm saying is you as a concealed carrier, don't be so worried about that stuff. Carry the gun that you feel you need to carry and just don't worry about it. And if it's a full-size gun with high capacity, just carry it. Just carry it. Get a good holster. Get a good belt, as I've said 100 times. Get equipment that is designed to do a real good job of concealing a full-size gun, and there are plenty of them out there. Now, here's something else you have to remember. When you're going to get a holster or a belt, and we're going to kind of change the subject here. I'm going to change the subject here again a little bit, although I'm going to keep it as related as I can. How many of you listening to this have a box full of holsters or a drawer full of holsters, right? Yeah, it's a common problem for those of us that are serious about carrying a handgun. We have this drawer full of holsters. I'm working on my second drawer of holsters. I may have that one filled up, you know, pretty soon too. Why do we have a drawer full of holsters? I have a theory. I got a theory as to why we have a drawer full of holsters. Everybody seems to be looking for the absolute perfect holster. They want that absolute perfect holster that is going to absolutely be the most comfortable way that they have ever carried a gun, so that the concealed carrier will never ever know, will never ever feel, never feel that pound and a half piece of metal or metal and plastic with 17 rounds in it and a little over an inch thick. Nobody ever wants to feel that. Everybody's like, hey, this is going to be like wearing a swimming suit at the beach, right? And we all seem to be so invested in finding a holster that's going to do that for us. And folks, I'm here to tell you that I don't believe you're ever going to change the fact that you're carrying a piece of metal or a piece of metal in plastic that weighs a pound and a half with 17 rounds in it. I mean, it is what it is. It's a gun. And you got this big thing that you're carrying on your body. You just have to get used to it. You just have to get used to it. The holster and the belt can only do so much. It can only go so far. Yes, there are comfortable holsters out there. And as you guys have heard, I've talked about my sponsor a lot, Concealment Solutions. They make terrific comfortable holsters. A lot of different versions of comfortable holsters. And lots of holster makers out there make fantastic holsters. You know, people say we're in the golden age of handguns, and we are. We're in the golden age of handguns. I think we're also in the golden age of holsters. Would you agree? We're in the golden age of holsters. A lot of talented people out there making some products that are really good. But I got to tell you, and that is, it's never going to change the fact that you're carrying a gun. So get used to it, folks. Just get used to that gun being on your body, part of your lifestyle. You'll get used to it where it won't be all that uncomfortable for you anymore. I think you should try to just narrow down your drawer of holsters. Just pick two or three. Pick two or three holsters that you're going to stick with and just say, you know what? These are the two or three I'm going to use. And I'm just going to stick with them. And I'm just going to make it work. I'm going to get used to it. And that's that. You'll probably save a lot of money. You'll save a lot of aggravation. And trust me, folks, I'm just as guilty. I think what I'm going to do after I get done recording this episode, when I get home tonight, I'm actually going to count the number of holsters I have. And then I'll tell you about it in the next episode. I'm going to count them. I'm almost afraid to count how many holsters that I own. I am. I'm afraid of embarrassing myself. But I'm going to do it for you, and I made a promise. I'm going to do it. And we'll see where it goes. But anyway, there's some thoughts that I wanted to share with you on my drive here. I've got more to say coming up soon. Well, that's all. I hope you enjoyed this. I want to let you all know that I plan on taking a break from the podcast when I hit episode 450. So I'm going to put a call out there right now. I'm looking for some guest hosts that are willing to do, you know, a couple of podcasts here and there. I think I'm going to take a couple of months off as soon as I get to episode 450. This is 428. I need to take a break. I need to step back. I am not going to stop doing the Handgun World podcast. Let me make that clear. I'm not going to stop. I just need to take a break a little bit. I need to take a little bit of a break and just kind of recharge my batteries and think about the next phase in my life. As most of you know what I've gone through recently. So it's now time for a new phase in my life. And I am going to take the next few months to try to figure out what is that direction going to be. It's probably going to be a five-year plan. But I got to figure out exactly what it is that I want to do. So when I get to episode 450, which is in about 22 episodes from now, so like 4 or 5 months or something like that. Anyway, if you feel like you would like to step up and take one or two episodes and record something for me, and I'll put it up on the Handgun World podcast. Of course, you can promote yourself or your company or whatever it is that you're doing. Send me an email, bob@handgunworld.com, bob@handgunworld.com. And by the way, folks, to all listeners out there, don't forget my voicemail message box, 210-646-1727, 210-646-1727. Thanks for listening, folks. Remember, all of our first responders out there, all the police and the firefighters and the National Guard and the Cajun Navy, they're all out there. These are heroes, folks. These are heroes. Stop bashing cops. Now you see the good in our law enforcement and our military and our National Guard and our firefighters and just the good in the hearts of citizens. This is what humanity and this is what America is all about. I'm Bob Main. Thanks for listening. I carry a gun because I can't carry a cop. And remember, evil does not exist in the holster. It exists in the hearts of men and women. Shoot straight, shoot safe, and I'll talk to you next time. Goodbye.